We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. I believe we have been given the capacity and will to pursue this research, and the humanity and conscience to do so responsibly.
That's President Obama on Monday announcing that federal funding would be freed up for unlimited lines of human embryos and the research on them. Embryonic stem cell research is the term for it. Wesley Smith joins us for the last 10 minutes of the program today, this Thursday afternoon, the 12th of March, to get his reaction not only to Obama's decision, but also to a St. Louis Post-Dispatch editorial, putting science back in public policy. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow in bioethics for the Discovery Institute, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. Wesley, welcome back.
Are we having fun yet, Todd?
Well, I think we will after you hear this one. I'm sure you've read it already yourself. From the editorial in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Putting Science Back in Public Policy, perhaps most important, President Obama's decision signals a new commitment to science ideals, free inquiry, and open debate in American public policy. Your reaction?
Well, that's just such usual nonsense from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. First off, when has there not been open debate about this issue? Second of all, this has never been a science dispute. It's been an ethics dispute. And Obama, in his speech, said he was going to have the most rigorous ethical guidelines. Well, if you agree with the ethical guidelines, it's pro-science, but if you disagree, it's anti-science. Thirdly, it's interesting how the St. Louis Post-Dispatch didn't describe fully what President Obama did on Monday. He not only changed the embryonic stem cell research funding issue as you described, he rescinded and revoked a second Bush executive order, but he didn't talk about it in his speech. And that order was the one that required the government to fund alternative methods of finding pluripotent stem cells. Those are the induced pluripotent stem cells we've talked about on your show, where you can make embryonic-like stem cells from normal skin cells, which does away with the entire ethical problem. Now, what's even more hypocritical, in my view, is that in his speech, President Obama specifically said that he supported the funding of that research, but what he did was take away the executive order that specifically required that funding. So if anybody has been anti-science as well as anti-ethics, it's President Obama, not President Bush.
Some might read from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch editorial something of a concession. It talks about the opponents of embryonic stem cell research, arguing that adult stem cells are more promising. And then it goes on to say, well, all this really does is just highlight the importance of continuing research with both adult and embryonic stem cells. What's the difference between the two, Wesley, and why is this not a both-and when it comes to ethics?
Well, if you believe it is wrong to destroy human life and treat it as a corn crop so much ripe for the harvest, then you oppose embryonic stem cell research, and particularly human cloning, which is the next step. And in fact, President Obama hinted very strongly that he would support therapeutic cloning in his speech. He said he would oppose reproductive cloning. Those are the same technology of cloning, just different uses for the cloned embryo that the act of somatic cell nuclear transfer creates. The idea of adult stem cells as almost like the fallback position, it's really in the last 8 years gone the other way. When this argument first began, nobody understood that how fast and how incredibly hopeful this adult stem cell area would be. You have seen in human trials, thousands right now, ongoing at this moment. If you went to the proper website, and I'm sorry I don't have the URL in front of me, you would find that there are thousands right now of human trials ongoing with adult stem cells, ranging from issues like heart disease to spinal cord injury, the very things that President Obama discussed. It has stopped multiple sclerosis from getting worse, adult stem cells. People have gone off insulin using adult stem cells in early human trials. So, you know, the idea that somehow that is just kind of like an also-ran is quite the opposite. Plus, adult stem cells don't cause tumors, which embryonic stem cells do cause. So you've got not only the better ethics in terms of adult stem cells, but you actually may have the better potential to find human treatments.
I want to come back to that cloning thing again, because someone listening casually to President Obama's Monday announcement would have thought he said, well, you know, cloning's bad. We're never going to do it. We're just not going to make it happen. You say the devil's in the details.
Right.
He said cloning for reproduction.
Exactly. And that's the usual disingenuous side of this debate. The act of cloning is the act of somatic cell nuclear transfer. And that's when you take an egg, take out the nucleus, take a nucleus from, say, my skin cell, put it in the egg, zap it with electricity, and if the cloning works, you would create a new human life through asexual reproduction. That's how Dolly the sheep came into being. The people like Barack Obama, who say, well, we're going to outlaw cloning, don't mean outlaw human somatic cell nuclear transfer. They mean allowing that embryo to be developed to a baby. And in fact, to prove my point, the day after President Obama's speech, the New York Times, which is the mouthpiece for the left wing of this country, issued an editorial saying, we need to do away with the Dickey Amendment, and the Dickey Amendment prevents federal money from being spent to destroy embryos in research, and we need to permit therapeutic cloning. That's where we're heading next. And you may recall that President Obama said, well, he'll let any further changes be done in Congress. Well, he has no choice, because right now, allowing destructive embryo research to be paid for, the destroying of the embryo itself to be paid for by federal money, is against the law. And that would probably also apply to creating embryos through cloning to be destroyed in research. But people like Dianne Feinstein and Orrin Hatch have already tried to pass laws that would specifically legalize human somatic cell nuclear transfer, but just prevent a baby from being born using that technology. But that is to specifically legalize cloning, and once you've done that, and once you get rid of the Dickey Amendment, that leads to financial funding by the federal government of human cloning research. And once you do that, you're well on your way to reproductive cloning, which eventually would be called for, as we already see in some places. It would lead to genetic engineering research. It would lead to human enhancements and all of the brave new world problems we've got. You also have in the UK, I might point out, very high officials and advisors in the science sector urging that aborted fetuses be used for organ procurement to try to overcome the organ shortage. That's fetal farming. And clone fetal farming is one potential aspect of the cloning agenda, which is you would take a clone, make a clone of a patient who needs a kidney, for example, put it in an artificial womb, gestate that clone for, say, 6 months, then destroy it, take the kidneys and put it in the patient. That's already been done in animal research and is legal specifically in the state of New Jersey, even though it cannot yet be accomplished technologically. The federal government a few years ago outlawed fetal farming, but did not include artificially gestated fetuses in that prohibition. Therefore, if you did it in an artificial womb in New Jersey, it would be perfectly legal. As I said, it cannot yet be done. But anybody who pays any attention to where this technology is heading, to what is being advocated in the professional journals, and to the between-the-lines statements by President Obama has to see that this is not going to stop at embryonic stem cells. That's just the launching pad and the idea of getting people used to treating human life as a mere natural resource.
Folks, check out the best website for bioethical issues. Go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. There you'll find a link to Wesley Smith's website. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow in bioethics for the Discovery Institute, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. Wesley, thank you so much for being our guest.
Always good talking to you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll talk about sexting. You've heard about texting, and of course you've heard about sex. When the two are combined, especially in the hands of our teenagers, it becomes sexting. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest tomorrow to talk about that. Dr. Albert Mohler will weigh in on this new survey regarding American religious life, and we'll discuss Scripture Alone with Pastor Stephen Parks. That's tomorrow, Friday, on Issues, Etc. Yes, the term often used, Brave New World, is also a very dangerous world. We enter into breakthroughs in medical science and research with fear and trembling. Why? Because we know that we are not masters of our own faiths, and because we know that what we are handling here is the most precious commodity that there is. And it's not a commodity. It's the most precious gift there is, human life. We cannot treat life, human life, as a commodity, a crop, something to be bought and sold, something to be bartered, and something to be used as an instrument of research. Why? Because human life, from beginning to end, at every stage of development, from conception until natural death, has intrinsic value. That's what we mean when we use the word human life. Those two things together, human life, and that most certainly applies to the embryo. Frozen or in a petri dish or cloned makes no difference. Intrinsic value. That means the embryo is my neighbor and your neighbor. That means they, these embryos, our neighbors, need our protection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.